Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
My face looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me when I pray, take all my guilt away, O let me from this day be wholly Thine. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. So far we read God's blessed word, God's true and wonderful word. As Paul will write later in this same letter, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's pray that God will so work with this Word in power that will bring us to faith, that we might be, as we began to read, justified by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray in His name, giving thanks and also asking for all that we need to be taught and to be given in every needed blessing. Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in His name for all blessings given. We give thanks for Thy so loving the world that Thou didst give Thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And because of that, Father, we can have this statement here, being justified by faith with Thee, and through Christ, we can have peace with Thee. We pray, Father, that we might come to know the need of that in repentance, knowing, as we also read, that Christ died for the ungodly, for sinners, for enemies. That is how we are in our natural way. That is what we are without Christ. And we pray, Father, in His name, that we might be taught this in repentance, that we may know that we are the sinners that He had to die for, and we were even enemies, not wanting that way of Thy salvation, loving darkness rather than light. As Lord Jesus, You also said, everyone that does evil hates the light, and it's because of that hatred that Thou didst die, Thy love, Father, and our hatred together on that cross, and help us to see it rightly. Help us to see that it is all of Thy grace and all of our sin of unbelief, our sin of pride, our sin of disobedience, and all these different ways in which we sin against Thee in terrible ways. And we pray, Father, that we might have not only repentance in the beginning to come to Thee as lost sinners, to be justified by Thee through and because of Christ, but also that we might continue in that and even grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, Thy Son, that we might be revived at this time, that we might again in the church be made a salt and a light in the nation, in every area, that it will be a salt and a light in our homes, that homes might be reconciled, that marriages might be made to continue and to even restore some that are broken. We pray for the children of their broken homes and their anxiety, their frustration, some taking their own lives. And all this, Father, leading to the way of trouble, the way that, as Thou hast said, the wicked are like the troubled sea, casting up dirt and mire, no peace. But Thou hast also told us that Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. And we pray that Thou wilt teach us that even through these words, and all that lead us to it, and all that come with it, and all that follow, and that we might do as Thou hast said, Lord Jesus, to continue in the Word, to know the truth, and have the truth set us free. We pray for these blessings first, as Thou hast said, to seek first Thy kingdom and Thy righteousness. We pray that with Thy Spirit and Thy Word Thou wilt lead us in that way more and more, that there might be another time like Pentecost. We pray, Father, that we might have that blessing of revival in the church, and that we might then also have the other blessings added that are so much needed. We pray for those in suffering, the homeless, the war-torn lands, the persecuted, the hungry, all these different calamities that are there throughout the world, many that are not homeless but suffering because of flood and fire, wind, hurricanes, earthquakes, all these judgments that have fallen. Thou hast said they would come in the last days even worse. We pray, Father, we might recognize Thy hand in it. Also, we think of the needs of those in sickness and injury. We pray that Thou would give them faith to look to Thee through Christ, the great physician, for healing. And we pray that many might be given that blessing. We pray for those that must remain in their illness through life. Thou would give them the grace to bear under it, to learn through it the peaceable fruits of righteousness, and then also to know the need of preparing for death and finding peace with Thee, Father, through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we look at these words once again, they are a continuation, all for what is written in the previous chapter. begins with the word therefore. If we go back to verse 13, we read, "For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." That is the blessing that God gives in salvation, justification by faith in Christ, in God's righteousness, not in our own. As, again, we read those words, not through the law, but only through the righteousness of faith. And we must see that plainly, and we must come to that. Paul writes later of the Jews that are also part of this church, evidently. We see them addressed much in the second chapter, and we see them spoken of in different chapters. And he said they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to God's righteousness, Christ being the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That danger is there today in the church, as well as it was with that Paul was speaking of his kinsmen according to the flesh, as he describes them in Romans chapter 10. And we see it elsewhere as well. They sinning, as we do, but still at the same time trusting in their own righteousness. And Paul makes that very plain in the third chapter, where he states that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. There he has the negative, shall not be justified. And here we have that wonderful way, therefore, being justified. When we're in relationship with God according to the law, not justified. Never, never, never. No one will ever attain to that in this life, not even after we're saved, that we could say, now I live by the law. We hopefully live more by it than before. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And that will be much in the keeping of the law, especially the spirit of the law, which is love. Love to God, love to our neighbor. Paul brings that out later in a way of thankfulness, as he refers to that already somewhat in the 6th chapter, and then much more in the 12th chapter. And we'll come to that, Lord willing, later. But here, looking at this again, we have, through Christ, peace with God. Peace with God. Christ is, as Isaiah wrote long before Christ was born, the Prince of Peace. And of his government, there is no end. You can read that along with the other names that are given to him by Isaiah when he writes, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." And then the last, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever. And then that last phrase, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He'll perform this himself. As we can read of that phrase, the Lord of hosts, we read it later in Isaiah, where God speaks of himself and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. And he is the one that accomplishes redemption. And that is what Paul is describing here. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have been redeemed. We have redemption. We have these wonderful blessings. Not only does Paul here mention faith, but he also mentions into this grace wherein we stand. We can stand in grace after we have been justified. This is really the entrance into the kingdom of God. And we must make that very plain. We enter in by forgiveness, by being pardoned, by coming guilty before God, as we read so plainly in the third chapter. that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Not one part of the world, or not another part of the world, or not some of the world, but all the world. That includes you. That includes me. And everyone else. Everyone. No matter where we think we are born, no matter where we think we are privileged. Paul spoke of his privileges when he wrote to the Philippians. If anyone had anything to boast of in the flesh, he says, I more. And then he described what he had as an Israelite. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, circumcised the eighth day. All of those things he mentions. And that would set him apart if these things did set one apart, but they do not. The law doesn't set us apart. We're all guilty by it. And privileges, though they are privileges, they do not separate us from the rest of the world of sinners. There are those three different ways that are described here further in this fifth chapter. Died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. For anyone to be justified before God, Christ had to die. He had to be made a curse for us. As Paul writes to the Galatians, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things of the book of the law to do them. The moment we come from under full obedience to the law, full love to God, right love to our neighbor, we are cursed. Cursed is everyone. And we must see that. We like to put different categories, different cultures, different ways, different privileges. And they are privileges. If anyone had the privileges, it was the Jews, which Paul not only is one, but also he speaks of them. I would remind you of what we read earlier in the third chapter. What advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there in circumcision? Much every way, chiefly that unto them were committed the oracles of God. And then it goes right into their sin. What if some of them did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Further in that chapter, he asked the question, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that all are under sin. All of that is in this letter to the church at Rome, before we come to these wonderful words. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of what some want to do with scripture like this and just think they have it, think they've always had it, it reminds me of John Bunyan in his book, Pilgrim's Progress, with some that climbed over the wall and they wanted to join in the way without entering in at the straight gate. Now, the right way of entering in, we must all enter in one way, ungodly, sinners, enemies. Christ said he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's why we have to be justified. We aren't justified as if we're proved to be right. We're justified by God through another, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not pronounced just because we have made a right way before God, but because Christ died. And as Paul brings that out, those very plain ways that I've just referred to, referring to us the three different ways of different kinds of sinners, ungodly, sinners, enemies. And we can find many more descriptions like that throughout Scripture. We can read the first chapter, what happens if we're left to ourselves. And then it waxes worse and worse till we're given over to a reprobate mind. And we need to fear today that we as a nation, and sadly as a church in the nation as well, are in danger of that, given over to a reprobate mind. How many people in the church, how many people professing to be Christians, how many professors in the seminary, how many learning students there, deny the fact that God is our Creator. Deny that in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. Do not accept that as the only true history in the world. That it came that way, those 6,000 less or plus years that it happened. And we have, as I said often, the genealogy when we read of the birth of Christ in Matthew and Luke, the genealogy coming from Abraham, and the other going back to Adam, all those who lived in that time, very plainly. And we wouldn't even think that people would want to deny that, but they do. And Christ asked the question, if you believe not Moses, how can you believe in me? And Moses wrote those words. Paul also adds to them and uses them. He gives the likeness of salvation to the Corinthians when he writes there in the 4th chapter, much the same blessing as he has here in this first verse of Romans chapter 5, in much different words, but the same blessing. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness at creation, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here Paul says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there to the Corinthians he says, God hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Just before Christ died, he said to the Father, he had glorified his name. He also wanted to be glorified himself, and he would be. God spoke from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He also said at another time, hear ye him. And we are to hear him who came to this world and said, I came to give glory to God. And he gives glory to God in dying for us. That is, to the glory of his grace, especially when we think of it being applied as well as being described here. We see the application referred to more in the last verses of the 4th chapter that we considered earlier, verse 24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And then Paul can go on with these words, therefore, because of that, because it has taken place, has it taken place in your life, could you say and tell someone, the Lord saved me, the Lord forgave me, he pardoned my sin, I knew it by the word of God, I knew it by the witness of the Spirit, peace with God. He is the Prince of Peace, but he gives peace. Toward the evening of his resurrection, when he came to the apostles, he said, peace be unto you. John records that. Luke records it. Again, 8 days later, when he came the second time, when Thomas was there also, again he said, peace be unto you. Before he died, as recorded earlier in John, he said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. No, it's not as the world. The world doesn't know it. The world can give it. It can promise many things, but it cannot give peace with God. It cannot give peace with ourself, even though people like to talk about it. It has been wrongly used. Go back to the book of Jeremiah. We read they cried, peace, peace, when there was no peace, and the people loved to have it so. The false prophets told the people by what God calls their lightness and their lies, a peace, and all would be peace. But it was not peace. It was not peace with God, and it would not leave them in peace in their country, which would soon be destroyed. Terrible judgment would fall rather than peace. And how we need to pray for peace in our nation. God tells us to do that. He tells us to pray for those in authority that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. And there's nothing more important in that than God teaching sinners the way of justification. If that were done, much more than it is in our country, that would bring peace, not only with God, but with each other. if there was more of that blessing that Paul is here speaking of, and that people could be told, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have it together, that we have found it, that we have been given it, and that we could speak of it, and we would want others that still not had come to that blessed place to know it. What a difference that would make in our country, in our homes. It is sadly lacking. Lacking in doctrine. We do not stand firm, as came more to light in the time of the Reformation, when that was really the watchword, justification by faith. Now, I've mentioned that before. That was what Luther especially brought out, and that was his emphasis, being justified by faith alone, without works. Not just faith and works, but faith alone without works. We bring in no work, not even faith as a work or as a condition. Faith is there, but it's given by God. As we've often mentioned, those words from Paul to the Ephesians, where he states, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works that any man should boast. There are those who want to make faith a work, that all is conditioned on our faith. Faith must be there, and God gives it, as we read here, through our Lord Jesus Christ, and by faith, that is the means. But God himself justifies by faith. When we come to repentance, we come to our mouth being stopped, as we read in the third chapter, guilty before God. And when that repentance takes place, faith comes. God convicts us. God teaches us. As the Lord Jesus said, they shall be taught of the Father, and those that are taught of the Father come to me. God teaches us through the law our guilt, and then through the gospel, the way of justification by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he is Lord, he is Jesus, he is Christ. He is all things needed, and we must believe all of it, all of the word. We must believe all that Paul wrote before this. That includes us. We can't skip it. We can't just come here and say, well, I won't believe the rest, but I will believe this for myself. Have you been guilty? Did you need justification? Did you need a pardon? Did you need forgiveness? Recognize that you were the ungodly one. You were the sinner. You were an enemy. Those are the ones that Paul says were justified by God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And only in that way do we have that great salvation that Paul mentions later when he writes to the Hebrews and gives the warning. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We must not neglect the way to it in repentance, and we must not neglect the way of it by faith and faith alone. Yes, alone, in Christ, none in self, all in him.
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.